Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for your real-life issue. So we invite your call now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul wrote this to the Galatians: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So Jesus Christ went into the slave market. He redeemed us. He purchased us out of that slave market, and we were slaves to sin. And then he unshackled the chains that held us and set us free. Free to enjoy the grace of God, free to enjoy the love of God, free to enjoy the knowledge of God and grow in that relationship. That's what this gospel message is all about. But it says, be warned, stand firm in that freedom. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And oftentimes that yoke of slavery is when we fall back into this idea of having to seek approval from others.
Right.
It's interesting, as Paul starts this letter of liberation, he gives the key verse, I think the key verse, in chapter 1, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Why do we become so legalistic? Why do we fall back into a system of rules and regulations? Because we're trying to win the approval of men. This is the heart and soul of the legalist mind. There are people out there who are important to me. If I can win their approval, then I will be important in my eyes. So whatever they want me to do to win their approval, I'm going to do it. Now you've become a legalist. Now you've just submitted yourselves to their rules, their regulations. You've committed yourself to trying to carry those out to perfections just so that you can gain their approval. Here's the sad part. You can do all of those with excellence and with perfection, and as soon as you do, they have 10 more things for you to do. And it's just an endless cycle. So God has set us free. He has given us contentment within ourselves. When we come to Jesus Christ, we have found the favor of God. We stand in His favor from that point forever. It's an eternal thing. We're never outside of the favor of God when we're in Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? I mean, that's just astounding, isn't it? To think that I am never outside of God's favor. Jesus Christ has made that possible through His death, His burial, His resurrection. I couldn't earn it. There were no rules that I could live up to that would earn me that position. That was a gift of grace.
Right.
God extended His favor to me in Christ. He lifted me up out of my state of death and sinfulness and all of those things and put me in His Son. And within His Son, I have His eternal favor. I don't need to struggle to find to get the approval of others. I don't need to do that. That's not going to make me content. I've already found full contentment in Christ.
Absolutely.
That's where we need to stand. That's where we're the most free.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, friends, and it's the message you hear each day on this broadcast. We hope it's finding a place in your heart and in your life. And right now, you can be a part of the broadcast. Post your question, your real-life issue, by calling 1-800-677-9377. Calls beginning to come in. Still room for you, though, at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to New York, New York, and talk with Doris listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Doris.
Hi, Bob. I received your tape, Drive the Stake.
And yes, ma'am.
The book, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And it's a pleasure to just listen to it. And I believe that I'm saved through Jesus Christ's life, His death, and His resurrection. I know He's in my heart for a long time, but every time, like you used to be, when I mess up, I run and say the sinner's prayer. I just want to say thank you. I don't have to say the sinner's prayer continuously.
Isn't that
good
news?
As if God has not never heard me, and that is good news.
Yeah.
I enjoy your radio show, and I enjoy the tape. I'm going to be listening to the tape over and over. I'm going to be reading the book, and I want to pass it on to the person who told me that you could lose your salvation.
Well, I hope that you do. And Doris, you know, I was like you for so many years. Every time I sinned, I felt like God had left me, that I had lost my salvation. So I prayed to ask Him back into my heart. Probably did that 400 or 500 times until I finally came to the point and said, "Lord, I'm going to trust You from this point forward." I drove that stake. And my life changed, and it sounds like, Doris, that's happened for you, and I am so grateful for that. I'm thankful.
I'm thankful to you for your tape and your book, Forgiveness. The Forgiveness book sort of reconfirmed the drive, the stake, and it just goes together.
Well, Doris, I'm glad we were able to put these into your hands and that God used them in such a way to give you the confidence that you need, the assurance that you need, that God loves you and that you can never be separated from His love. That's great news.
And that's great news.
Thank you so much for sharing, Doris. And I'm going to be in New York on July 24th. I would love to meet you face to face. I'm going to be at the American Bible Society. That's a Thursday, doing the broadcast from the American Bible Society. Would love to see you there, Doris. Let me put you on hold, and we will give you all the information.
I don't want to commit myself and say I'll be there and then don't show up.
Well, that's okay.
So if I find myself in the position that I can make it, I will.
Well, I would love to see you. It would be a great honor just to be able to give you a big hug in the Lord.
Oh my God. How wonderful.
Well, you hang on, Doris, and we will give you the information on the details of that event, and hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to see each other face to face, okay?
Okay, all right.
And thanks for your great call today. We
sure appreciate it.
And what a blessing where the message goes out, finds a place, and then comes back to you. Isn't that something?
Oh, it is. It really is. And I think I hit the wrong button for Doris and clicked her off instead of on hold. So, Doris, if you're still listening, call us back. Please do that. And I apologize. But as far as that event, the WMCA live event, that's Thursday, July 24th at the American Bible Society. I'll be joining Kevin McCullough. He will be doing his television program, his broadcast. I'll be a guest on his broadcast, and then we'll be broadcasting Basic Gospel Live from the atrium right there at the American Bible Society. So come join us. It's a free event, but we do ask that you register, and all the information on how to register is online at basicgospel.net.
I think it's going to be a great event. I know people are going to be enjoying coming and meeting Bob Christopher face-to-face.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, to meeting so many of our New York friends, and just being able to shake hands. That's part of this fellowship that we have as believers in Christ. So come join us for that. Well, let's go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Miles.
Hi, guys. Nice to talk to you again.
And to you as
Shout out to Rod out there on Vancouver Island. Thank you. I got my materials that I ordered, wonderful books and CDs.
Well, excellent.
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk about are the limitations and challenges of our languages. You know, presently we use English, but we've got these other historical languages. And I often hear people and yourselves struggling with language. Not too long ago, there was a conversation about whether the word you is you singular or the you plural. And then another challenging word seems to be obedience, which sounds, I think, typically to us like a work or an obligation. But I've actually heard, maybe it was from your show, that it also simply means to listen. To obey is to listen. Have you heard that definition
before? Well, to listen with the intent of carrying out what you've heard. And it really ties into faith. If you look in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews talks about the Israelites and those that died in the wilderness. And it talks about them being disobedient. And then it also says they died there because of their unbelief. So he's tying the two together. So obedience really flows from a heart that is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. So if you are obedient to that, it means that you are trusting that God knows what's best for you, that he actually loves you. You're connected to that love. You're willing to listen to what he has to say with the intent of carrying it out. That's obedience. I love right. what Major Ian Thomas said about it, that that it was a three-pronged approach. There is this abiding in Christ, this love for Christ, which results in our dependence upon Christ, which then results in our obedience to Christ. So obedience is the caboose. Oftentimes we try to make it the engine, and when we do, I think that's where we mess up. But when we leave it as the caboose, as the outflow of our love for God and our dependence upon God, then it all kind of fits together. And
right. A lot of people really jump to the definition that it's an order.
Yes.
To obey, and that's, as you're saying, looking at it the wrong way, and it really means it starts with being quiet, meditative, and reflective, and changing behavior that way.
Yeah. And one of the things, Miles, that I think we need to realize is that God's grace is the fuel for that entire process. Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of faith. He's the completer. So it's his work of grace that grows our faith, basically, and spells it out in obedience, as we see that in action and attitude and all of that. So I have to realize that this whole life is by grace through faith. It's never just faith. It's never just grace. God always couples those two together by grace through faith. And so this faith that we have is in response to the work that Jesus is doing in our hearts by grace.
And ultimately, the other realization I have is, I believe it's in John 1, where he refers to God creating the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is Jesus. So it makes me think that as much as we struggle with language and defining all these terms, it's just one word that we have to know. That's Jesus.
I think you've brought it right down to the very heart and soul of the issue. It's all Jesus, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great day, everybody.
Well, thank you, Miles. Thanks for your call. We sure always appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, plenty of open lines. Still got time on the clock. That number, 1-800-677-9377. If you have something to add to the conversation, want to hear from you right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go back to New York and talk with Beth, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
You're doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I actually was calling because I had a question regarding intercession.
Okay.
And one of the things that I wanted to understand was, I know in the Catholic Church, they teach you to pray to the saints and to the Blessed Mother as a form of intercession. And I was raised in the Catholic Church, but then recently had a wonderful opportunity to study in and learn from a different church. And I was then taught that the only person that we should pray to for intercession was Jesus. And I just wanted to hear how I can make sense of the saints, because then the other thing I was taught was that we're all saints, So I'm just trying to grasp this whole concept of saints and their purpose, and if I am indeed a saint or not, if that makes any sense to you.
Okay, Beth, that's a good question. The Bible says that anyone who has come to Christ by faith has been sanctified, set apart, and has been named a saint by calling. In the book of Corinthians, the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he talks about them being saints by calling. And that's basically saying, in the same vein, that you are a child of God. So the question becomes, how do I get to be a child of God? How do I get to be a saint? And the Bible says that's through new birth, that you must be born again, that we're born into the family of God. So you were born into an earthly family, and your
yes.
identity derived from that family. So you had the same last name as your mom and dad. You were one of those folks, just because you were born into that family. And in much the same way, we're born again spiritually into the family of God. And when we go through new birth, we are given the name child of God, saint by calling. So it happens through new birth. So, Beth,
okay.
and new birth happens when we trust Jesus Christ completely and totally for who he is and for what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. The fact, Beth, that he was raised from the dead is what gives you the opportunity to be born again of the Spirit, to be raised spiritually, so to speak. So when you believe in Jesus, Beth, believe in what he's accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection, then you experience new birth, and God gives you the name child of God, and he sends his Spirit to live in your heart, and by his Spirit, he testifies with your human spirit that you indeed belong to God and that you can call out, Abba, Father. So that's how...
That I understand, and that's wonderful. And I have been saved for over 10 years now, so I'm very happy to be part of the God's family and be reborn. But I do still have confusion regarding intercession. So I pray for help and for intercession, and who should that be directed toward? Because, like I said, I was taught something different upon growing up, and I just want to understand part of it now.
Let me just point you to one verse that has been mm-hmm. significant in my life and has been helpful in so many other people's lives. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, and okay. I'll read two verses. It's verse 6 and verse 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety or cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. So God is the one that you want to cast your cares upon. Jesus Christ is the one that you want to cast your cares upon because he's the one that cares for you. And he's the one that can take all things that are going on in your life and work them together for good. The saints of old, they can't do that. Only God can do that. Only he has the power to work all things together for good in your life. And that's why Peter, at the end of his first letter, would say, cast all your cares on him, and the reason is because he cares for you.
Well, that certainly answers my question. And you know what's so ironic is I know that verse very well, and I didn't see the answer there.
Well,
so thank you so very much for pointing that out to me.
Well, you are so welcome.
That helps me a lot.
Well, you are so welcome, Beth, and he's always the one you look to in all areas of life. He is your life, and that's why the gospel is good news. When you receive Jesus, you received him. He is God's gift to you, and he cares for you. Well, thanks for your call today,
Amen.
Beth. All right.
Thank you, and hopefully I'll see you on July 24th.
We'll look forward to that. Come make your make yourself known, and I'll look forward to saying hello.
Thank you. Me too.
All right. God bless, Beth.
Bye-bye.
Well, want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on the gifts of friends across the country to make this outreach possible. We're always interested in others joining the team, so to speak, becoming a Basic Gospel partner. If this ministry has touched your life in a specific way, would you join with us? Stand with us each and every month by making a gift to Basic Gospel, a gift of $20, $50, $100, whatever you feel comfortable with as far as you determine between you and the Lord. Share it so that we can continue sharing this good news with others and bringing really solid answers, just like Beth received and from the Word of God.
Yeah,
that's what this ministry is all about.
Absolutely. And for those of you who can make a gift that at this particular time during this month of July, we have a copy of John Lynch's book, The Cure, as a way of saying thank you for making your contribution. You can do that by going online to basicgospel.net or by calling our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that number, the order line number is 800-727-2828. Either way, a good way to support the ministry and get a copy of The Cure by John Lynch.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Curtis. Hi, Curtis.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Oh, great, great. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I know that the scripture talks about once we come to the Lord, we are filled by the Holy Spirit. But the question came up was, you know, you hear a lot of pastors talk about, I guess the term is like once saved, always saved. You hear things like he's married to the backslider. So I was asking a question by a friend of mine that if a person, say, got saved and they're still practicing the sins that they got saved from, are they still going to make it into the kingdom of God? I said I didn't think they would if they're still practicing what they've been delivered from. But I was told, but he's married to the backslider. And, you know, could you actually collaborate on that? Because
yeah, Curtis,
we'd be
glad to. You know, when Jesus saves, he saves us completely. It's not a partial salvation. It's not a temporary reprieve. It's a complete salvation. And he's promised that once he saves somebody, he's going to deliver that person to the end. He's going to complete the work that he began. So our salvation is dependent upon Christ's work from start to finish. So, Richard, what do we say to those who... they say they're saved, but there's no life change. We don't see anything that's happened.
Chances are they either think that their salvation is based solely on forgiveness rather than receiving eternal life, the indwelling spirit, or that they're just flat confused about something. Come alongside of them. Explain who Jesus is. Bring that life to bear on their situation rather than judging them, love them into clarity.
Yeah, so a lot of times with folks like that, they've never really understood the gospel. Maybe they've said a prayer, maybe they've walked an aisle, but they've never really responded to the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. And so with those, it's a great opportunity to say the gospel to them again, to minister that into their lives and say, is this what you understood? And five times or nine times out of ten, they're going to say, no, not at all. And you'll have an opportunity to lead them to Christ. So, Curtis, thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. Friends, if you're looking for an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're longing to experience true, genuine freedom, and if you're ready to take off the religious masks and step fully into who you are as a child of God, then you need The Cure. John Lynch and his team at True Faced Ministries have written this powerful book to help you experience the full force of the original good news. Let us say thank you with a copy of The Cure for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. To request your copy today and allow God's cure to set you free and walk in the fullness of His love and grace, simply make your gift and request your copy at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. It's been a good broadcast. Thanks for being a part of it by listening or participating. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.